And we it started out back in the winter. He would come in, and he one morning he woke me up and he said, "Hey, I'm running late for class. I need a ride to class." And it went from there to, you know, every couple weeks he'd ask me for a ride, and then it turned in about every week, and then it turned in about every 2 or 3 days he'd come in, wake me up out of my beauty sleep, and you know, he'd want to ride to class, and it turned in, it was just a lot easier than waking up early. He would just, you know, wake me up. And so that really started building on my nerves and building on my nerves. And then one morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd already went to bed, my phone started ringing. And I jumped up, because nobody ever calls me at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was his roommate, and he said, "Hey, I'm at the library. I need you to come pick me up." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Yeah, I didn't drive to the library this afternoon. I need you to come pick me up." I said, "It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm asleep." He said, "Well, you know, I'm trying to save gas, so I just decided that I was going to get somebody to come pick me up." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be there in 5 minutes. You be there, I'll leave you." So I got up, got in my truck. I drove to the library. And the whole time, I got stopped by every light between my house and the library. And my anger and it just kept building on me, and I just kept getting madder and madder every time I got stopped by a light, because it was 2 o'clock in the morning, I wanted to be asleep, and he just, I don't know why he didn't drive. So I get there, and I pick him up, and he just acts like there's nothing in the world wrong why he's getting me to come pick him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So he gets in the truck, and I didn't say anything, and I started driving, and he just starts talking, and he finally says, "Why are you mad at me?" I said, "First off, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I want to be asleep." And that led into a real big argument, and we both lost our tempers pretty good and had a real good argument all the way home. And then that led to neither one of us talking to each other for about the next week. So tonight, I just want to talk a little bit about anger and talking about what the Bible has to say about controlling our anger, and we'll just start from there. And I will offer this disclaimer: if anybody ever needs a ride at 2 o'clock in the morning, call me, just as long as you don't wake me up every morning, because I need my beauty sleep. You look at me, I need it. But if anybody ever needs a ride, I promise I will be more than happy to come pick you up any time of the morning. So, if you will, let's open our Bibles. The first passage tonight will be Mark chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. The first point I want to make is that not all anger is sinful. And we see in Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, this is about Jesus, and I'll start reading and I'll elaborate a little bit on it after, and we'll read through verse 6. So starting in verse 1, "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. And then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, that they might destroy him." This is starting out where Jesus was approached by a man and who had a deformed hand. And pretty much what it boils down to is Jesus was angry because the Pharisees were trying to trap him. And he turned it into a learning experience where he was trying to teach people that, you know, but it angered Jesus, because instead of wanting to learn and to listen to him, they were just all about trying to trap him and trying to see where he went wrong. And it was more or less the hardness of the heart angered Jesus. And as we know, Jesus never sinned, so this anger couldn't have been sinful. So if you will, let's turn over to John chapter 2, and we'll read verse 13, and that's where we'll start. John chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." Here again, Jesus becomes angry because these merchants had turned his Father's house into a business where they were making money on the Jews who had come in for the Passover. And we know his anger was not in sinful, and it was in righteousness because, he was blameless, and, you know, this was terrible that they were doing this. Next, if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. This verse right here is a reference back to Psalms chapter 4 and verse 4. But Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." This further shows that not all anger is sinful, but when anger is dealt upon, when anger is dealt upon in the right way, it is not sin. But if it's not shaken off or it is dealt on a long time, it can develop into sin, into other types of sin. And, I don't want anybody to get wrapped up in any kind of sin. But really, the main point of my lesson tonight is that anger can be sinful. So if you will, let's turn over to James chapter 1, and we'll read verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." It says here that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, which to me I translate it as, you know, it's a sin. If we cannot control what we speak, and if we jump to wrath real quick, and it's not right with God. It's not right. And then I bring forth the question: what are some of the causes of anger? The first causes I have is just plain foolishness. If you will, let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. These next few verses kind of give off the same, they kind of say the same thing, but they say it in a different way. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 9, it says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for angry rests in the bosom of fools." I don't know about y'all, but I know I sure don't want to be thought of as a fool. And it's being quick to anger is a good way to be considered a fool. And the Bible never says anything good about a fool. So if you will, let's turn a few books back to Proverbs chapter 14. And we'll start with verse 17. Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 17 says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated." And then we'll go a few verses over to verse 29, and it says, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." I mean, these verses are pretty self-explanatory, and it's pretty clear that Solomon says that if you're slow to wrath, you're a lot better off than a guy that's quick to wrath. The next cause of anger I have is pride. The Bible gives off several examples of people who, because of their pride, were pretty quick-tempered. If you will, let's turn over to 2 Kings. And we'll go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 11, says, "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hands over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." Naaman, he was obviously too good to bathe in the Jordan River. And, you know, he couldn't let his pride down enough to where he could, you know, he just couldn't let himself. I mean, it was just too nasty. He just felt like that the other rivers were just as good. But as we later see, he was talked into to going and washing in the Jordan, and he was healed of his leprosy. And, I mean, he ate his words on that one. But, you know, it was just, it's foolish that he wouldn't let his pride down enough to go bathe in the river to heal himself. The next example I have is of Jonah. So if you will, let's be turning over to the book of Jonah. We'll turn over to chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, that he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, and that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned and the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry with the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock?" Jonah became angry because the Lord did not punish Nineveh, because, I mean, they straightened up. The Lord sent Jonah to preach to them and to tell them that their ways were wrong, and if they wouldn't repent, that they would perish and he would destroy the city in 40 days. And, I mean, Jonah may have been mad because, you know, God didn't destroy the city. He may have thought, you know, that it took a shot to his character, since, you know, he went around telling everybody it didn't come true. But what it boils down to is he got angry, and it was over a silly matter. I mean, he had saved all these people, and I mean, he couldn't let his pride go. And I mean, he was so angry that, I mean, he said it would be rather for him to die. And, I mean, this is after he'd saved all of Nineveh from destruction. And so, you know, sometimes we just have to let our pride go when it comes to being angry. And just let it go. The next point I have is that a lot of times our anger can be aroused by jealousy and selfishness. I guess this is what caused the problem in my story. I guess getting up and carrying my housemate to class and picking him up early in the morning was just that, you know, I was selfish and didn't want to get out of bed. I mean, if I'd have just done it without saying anything, and, you know, it'd have saved a lot of conflict. But there's examples of this in the Bible as well. Very early in the Bible, in Genesis, between Cain and Abel. So if you will, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 4. And we'll read a couple verses from Genesis 4. While you're turning there, I mean, we all remember the story of Cain and Abel were brothers, and Abel had offered a more acceptable sacrifice to God, and Cain was just, he was jealous is what it amounted to. And we'll start in verse 5. We'll start in verse 3 of chapter 4. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. I mean, Cain was jealous, and it ended up costing Abel his life. I mean, it's so bad that you're so jealous that you kill somebody. I know that sometimes things like this happen, well, not with this same type story, but, you know, happen in our society. But, you know, I just can't imagine killing Thomas over, you know, being jealous of something he did. I mean, he may do some things better than me. I mean, he can run a real good 5K, but, you know, I don't envy him for no stretch. But, you know, this not only affected Abel and his death, but, I mean, it affected Cain, too, because the Lord pretty much plagued him for the rest of his life. And it was just all over just some anger that he couldn't get over, and the only way he felt like he could get over was by killing Abel. And got another example of Saul and David. And so if you will, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And we think we probably all remember the story of Saul and David, that everybody was really just bragging on David after he killed Goliath, and the women saying that Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. That just infuriated Saul, because he was just jealous because they were singing about David more than they were him. So starting in verse 8, it said, "Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?' So Saul eyed David from that day forward." And so we all know that Saul chased David around the wilderness for a long time, plotting to kill him. And it was just all over some jealousy that he just couldn't get over, just like Cain and Abel. And one last example under this point is the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And so if you will be turning over there to Luke chapter 15. We'll read from verses 25 to the end of the chapter. Luke 15, starting verse 25, says, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So when he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant, and he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said this to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is found and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I know this parable may not exactly be of the context that I'm using it tonight, but really it boils down